This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. On this segment of the program, we're doing our regular landlord-tenant laws and issues. And for those of you who are having problems, whether you're a landlord or a tenant, I'll be giving our phone number in just a few minutes, and you can call in anywhere that you may be in the state of California. We're live in the Bay Area. We're live on the internet at www.klw.org. And my guests are our very good friends who have been doing this with me for a number of years, very gracious with their time, very, very knowledgeable. James Coy Driscoll, who represents tenants. His offices are in San Francisco. My other guest is Mark Seidenfeld, a real estate attorney who represents landlords and tenants. And Mark's offices are in South San Francisco. Funding for Your Legal Rights is made possible by the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, the San Mateo County Bar Association. Additional funding is provided by the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar and the Family Law Section of the State Bar. And gentlemen, thank you very much for coming back.
Pleasure.
It's a pleasure.
It's wonderful to have you here. Let me throw this one at you, Coy. What are you finding, since you represent essentially exclusively tenants, what is the most common problem that you are, your clients who are tenants are faced with?
Well, San Francisco is once again experiencing a superheated rental market, which means that landlords are enthusiastically trying to get people out so they can raise the rents, because in California there's vacancy decontrol, meaning that once someone moves out, the rent can go up to market rent. And if somebody's been at a place 5, 10, 15 years with the limited with the restrictions on raising rent under the rent control ordinance, those people are likely paying substantially below market rent. One of the ways that landlords try to do this is by claiming, not always truthfully, that they want to move into the unit. Mm-hmm. And, sometimes people just move out without checking what their rights are. And sometimes people contact me or another tenants lawyer in the city and learn that they have rights and that they can fight. And even if they have to move, they can be compensated, and many times well in excess of what the minimum is set by the rent ordinance.
When you say compensated, what do you mean? If someone legitimately the landlord wants to move into the unit, is that not something that if that really happens is protected under the law?
Sure. And to obtain that result, what a landlord has to do is go through a lawsuit and a jury trial.
Really?
Yes, really. So, and as lawyers, you can easily lose a jury trial, even on the best day, even with the best case. So, and when a unit is obtained by the landlord, either through the use of the Ellis Act or owner move-in, there's restrictions on the use of the property going forward. Mm-hmm. And those are recorded, so they run with the land, they're not just restrictions on that owner. So if the owner were to sell it, those restrictions follow the property. So it's often in the landlord's best interest to settle the case. And those settlements can run from $30,000 to $50,000 and up.
Wow. Mark, what do you have to say about this, since you represent a lot of landlords?
First of all, I want to reassure all the landlords out there that I respectfully disagree with a lot of what was just said here. First of all, what Coy was talking about is the law in San Francisco,
okay,
which basically says that a non-fault eviction, a landlord move-in, or the unit is being taken out of use, whatever, the tenant is entitled to be compensated. Mm-hmm. That's just the law in San Francisco. It is not the law in San Mateo County or Marin County or mm-hmm. a lot of other places. Secondly, the rent ordinance in San Francisco sets a certain amount. I think it's something like $5,200 right now per resident, with a cap of
three times whatever that number is.
Right. Plus, there's an additional fee if it's a senior or someone who's been living there a long time and is disabled. But what Coy said about going to trial is absolutely true. You could have the best case in the world and still lose. And I try very hard not to let my clients go to trial. Most of these cases do settle. Most of them do not go to trial.
Let me, if you would, clarify this for me, because I was surprised with what Coy had said. And that is, if a landlord legitimately in San Francisco wants to move into the unit and does, from your standpoint as a landlord's attorney, Does there have to be a lawsuit?
There has to be a lawsuit to do any eviction. The lawsuit is called an unlawful detainer.
Even though the Ellis Act permits, state law permits you to do this?
Well, the Ellis Act is different than a landlord move-in. The Ellis Act is when the landlord is removing the property and all the units on the property from use as a residential facility.
I see.
A landlord move-in is saying to the tenant, you have to move out so I can move in or grandma can move in or something like that. And the law requires that a payment be made in a case like that.
But that's under San Francisco law?
Yes, not state law.
All right. Okay. Thank you for clarifying that.
Sure. But regardless of whether they're doing it under the Ellis Act, which is taking the unit out of residential service, or an owner move-in, anything where the in San Francisco, anything where the tenant is not at fault, such as non-payment of rent or breach of the lease, there has to be a payment to the tenant.
I see.
And like in any litigation, the plaintiff, the landlord, is put to his or her proof. Mm-hmm. So it's often like in many cases with litigation, the plaintiff is willing to make a compromise so that they can attain their goal without going through a jury trial.
So these are usually, when there are trials, they usually are jury trials?
Yes, there's a state constitutional right to jury trials. I know in some of the outlying states, the judges don't like that, but it is a state constitutional right, and it is almost always used by any tenant in San Francisco who is competent representation.
I see. Very interesting.
The issue is always whether the landlord is acting in good faith. Is the landlord really planning on moving in and staying there?
So, Mark, you mentioned something about $5,200 and then there's a multiple of three. What's the multiple of three? Where does that come from?
There's an amount that's set. It changes every year. I think it's indexed to inflation. This year, it's about $5,200, not exactly.
This is under the rent ordinance?
In San Francisco,
right. I see. Okay.
And it's for each person who resides in the unit, but there's a cap. So you can't bring in a tribe of 12 other people and say, they're all
really? We can't do that and make an enormous amount of money?
I assure you, 10 of the attorneys try, but no. There's a cap in the law.
So there's a cap. Even if you have 12 people in there, the cap is three times whatever the basic amount is, huh?
There's a cap of three times, but there's an additional payment if a tenant meets certain qualifications. Length of tenancy, disability, or...
I think you may be mixing apples and oranges. To be entitled to the move-out payments, they have to be there a year. And then if they're disabled or senior, or if there's a school-age child in the... in the home, then there's additional payments.
I see. Okay. One more thing, and then I'm going to give our local phone number in just a minute or two. Mark, before we went on the air, you said that what you are finding with your clients, who are mostly landlords, is there are move-out inspection problems. What are the problems? And who's causing the problem, or are both parties, the landlord and the tenant, causing the problem?
Both parties are causing the problem.
We need to find both of them. That's what we need to do.
It's, you know, tenants are entitled to do a walkthrough a couple of weeks before they move out.
Yeah.
So the landlord can point out to the tenant, gee, this is a problem, and unless you fix it, I'm going to be deducting the cost of fixing it myself from the security deposit. And a lot of tenants do not avail themselves of that, and as a result, there are questions and problems that arise afterwards when the gets a letter from the landlord saying, I deducted this money from your security deposit because you didn't do whatever. A lot of landlords are not aware that tenants have this right and don't want to do it. So there's fault on both sides there.
And one other thing, when the inspection happens, the statute says the landlord has to tell the tenant in writing at that time what the problems are. Because what I see on my side is landlord says, no, everything looks fine. And then after the tenant moves out, the landlord changes his mind.
No, that's no good.
A lot of problems are not noticeable when first inspection.
Yeah. Do you take photo when you do that inspection? Should one or both parties take photos?
Absolutely. Okay. And I always tell my clients, bring a witness.
And bring a witness. Okay. All right. It is our Call a Lawyer night. We have a number of attorneys here in a broad range of topics. I'll tell you their names in a while, but we've got workers' comp, criminal law, Family Law, if you have a question, you can call in, leave your name and phone number, and you'll get a call back from a family lawyer probably tomorrow. Legal malpractice law, landlord-tenant. We've got a lot of, actually two attorneys who are doing landlord-tenant tonight. Employment law, tax law, real estate. Tomorrow, Leon Baer, a certified specialist in probate, not probate, pardon me, in bankruptcy law, will be available to take your calls on Thursday morning on an 800 number, and I'll give you that number a little bit later in the program. So the number for Call a Lawyer, 1-800-525-9917. 1-800-525-9917. If you'd like to talk to my guests on the air, James Coy Driscoll and Mark Seidenfeld, that number is 1-415-841-4134. 1-415-841-4134. This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We're doing our regular landlord-tenant laws and issues program, which we try to do probably on the average of about every 6 weeks or so. I have the great pleasure of a couple of gentlemen, incredibly knowledgeable, very generous with their time, who has been working with me on this program for landlord-tenant for a number of years, both of them. James Coy Driscoll, who represents tenants. His offices are in San Francisco. And Mark Seidenfeld, a real estate attorney who represents landlords and tenants. His offices are in South San Francisco. So we will start with John. John, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Yeah, hi, how you doing?
All right, thank you.
Good, can you hear me okay?
Sure, that's fine.
Okay, great, great. So here's the situation. I'm living in a two-bedroom place in the Mission with my buddy, you know, buddy back from the Army, long time we've been together. And anyways, he's moving out, and right now my woman is going to be moving in, and the lease is under my name, and I'm wondering if, you know, the landlord wants my woman to fill out all this information, you know? And I'm wondering, is there any way that my girlfriend, you know, we're not married, but is there any way she can't move in?
Oh, okay. So in other words, let me make sure of this, John. You and your friend who have been living together in this unit, is his name on the rental agreement besides yours?
No.
Oh, your name is on there only?
That's right.
Okay, well, let me get some comments for you. And let me also mention this to you. The State Bar does not give my guest the right to give specific legal advice on the air. That's an ethical problem. But what they will do is talk about, generally speaking, what you think you might be able to do. And then a little bit later in the program, I'll give you some phone number where you might be able to get together with an attorney for a very modest fee from lawyer referral and really tie it down. So what do you say, Coy, to John?
Well, first of all, John, real quick question. Does your written rental agreement say how many people may live in the unit?
Yeah, it says it's two people. There's two bedrooms, two people can live there.
Okay, usually under the rent control ordinance, you have a right to do a one-for-one replacement of a person, but the landlord usually can do a credit check on that person. However, there's a way around that, and that is if you were married to, don't mean to scare you, or
Don't scare the man. Don't scare him with marriage here.
Or a domestic partner, which under there's a San Francisco domestic partnership that's very low intensity. Then you have a right under state law to move that person in, and as long as they are not responsible for the rent, the landlord basically has to let them move in.
Okay, the landlord, but they still have to do a credit check, but the landlord has to let them in. Is that right?
No, I'm saying two different things. One, saying on the one hand, they can do a one-for-one replacement, and hopefully your lady passes the credit check, or you can become domestic partners, and you can, you know, Google San Francisco domestic partners and go to the city website and find out all about that. And then as long as you give proper notice and your lady is not responsible for a rent, then she can move in.
Okay. So, and I could become domestic partners with her without getting married.
You got it.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to be careful there, John.
I would just add that most landlords, John, are not going to want to treat her as a tenant. They're not going to want to put her on a lease or give her a new lease or anything like that, and will probably refuse to deal with her, take money from her, et cetera. That being the case, they're probably not going to want a credit report from her.
So
they
you're
ask
saying
for one. That's the thing. They ask for one.
Ah.
Well, that landlord is not doing what I would advise him to do.
Yeah, that's interesting. And you've had no problem paying the rent, have you, John?
No, I have no problems paying the rent at all. You know, and they told me that no matter what, they're not going to put her on the lease, but they want a credit check anyways because they're worried. They say, you know, we own the house, and we're worried if there's some weird people come in here who are going to do something weird. We want to make sure they're okay. And
well, I don't blame them. I don't blame them because many, many years ago when I had a beautiful piece of property up in the Santa Cruz Mountains, I rented it to some people who I thought were very reliable. To make a long story short, I got a call one time from an agent from the DEA, Drug Enforcement Administration, saying, Mr. Finney, we believe there was a transfer of drugs from your next-door neighbor's property to yours. This was acreage, by the way. And so he came up. I met with him. He came up and wanted to see what was going on in a little unit I had there, a separate little building. And they were making cooking PCP.
And a little thing like that, the narcs were on them.
So I don't blame your.
It would make sense. So you think it's okay? They're asking for the info. They just want to make sure she's a good person, which she is.
Her credit is
okay. It's nothing spectacular. She doesn't make a lot of money. That's the only issue. But her credit is pretty good, you know.
Well, then it shouldn't be a problem.
I think it's okay, but you know, the landlord needs to be aware that weirdness is not necessarily shown in a credit report.
That's right, it is not.
And also, I think the landlord, by requesting a credit report, but then refusing to put the your girlfriend on the lease, is exposing himself to some liability. The short answer is, if everything goes swimmingly, fine. If not, go talk to a tenant's lawyer.
Thanks for calling, John. Good.
You guys, I appreciate you being out there. Thank you.
Very good. Very glad that you called. Let me give you, if you're still listening, which I think is very important. One of the funders of the program is the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. And for those of you who are in the San Francisco area, I'm going to give you the phone number for a half an hour consultation with an attorney. And it's all kinds of different subjects. You can pay $35 for half an hour. And so that number for the Lawyer Referral Service for the Bar Association of San Francisco is 415-989-1616. 415-989-1616. I'm a great believer in people taking advantage of what are reasonable opportunities to talk with a lawyer and get some basic information so that at least you know what direction you should be headed in. All right, Elaine, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Sure, thanks a lot.
Hi.
Hi. Well, what I have is my mother owns her house in San Francisco, and she was getting to the point where she really needed not to be alone. So friends of the family asked if they could move in and have free rent and help look after her.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been there a little more than a year, and it was a husband and wife and their five-year-old child. Now I'm asking them to move out because my mother needs more skilled care. And they're acting like they don't want to move out.
Yeah.
And so I'm just wondering, do they have a case or do I have a case?
And have they actually taken care of your mom at all?
Yes.
They have. So in other words, they have performed a service and have in effect been compensated by having free rent. Is that right?
And free utilities, free Comcast, and free toiletries, and it goes on and on.
And all right, well, let me get some comments from my guests here, and we'll start with Mark.
I would say that their joyride is over. You do have a right to get them out of that unit because, technically speaking, I would say that they are employees. They're performing a service in exchange for compensation. And when a landlord has an employee and fires that employee and the employee is compensated by a free apartment or some reduction in rent, that there is a grounds to evict there.
And are you in San Francisco? Is the property in San Francisco?
The property is in San Francisco.
Okay. Yes, right.
One of the other things to consider, and I'm going to give the other view from Mark, is that, yes, I would agree that these people are employees, but unfortunately, I imagine you haven't been paying them a minimum wage,
no.
reporting taxes,
no.
deducting. So you have some... you have some exposure in that area, and also there are Labor Commission restrictions on how much you can deduct from a person's pay for the living the living facilities that are provided. Mm-hmm. So what I would, you know, what I'd tell you to do, and I think Mark would join me on this, is tomorrow morning, right after your coffee, get a landlord's lawyer. You're going to need some professional help.
I agree. Everything Coy said about the labor issue is definitely an issue.
So but, I should get a landlord lawyer and not a employment lawyer?
Well, you may need one later on, if depending on what happens. But no, the immediate issue is to get those people out of the house.
Well, they say they're willing to move, but they're just acting kind of like they can't find anything. And I was just wondering.
Mm-hmm. Well, they most likely can't in this market, to tell you the truth.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it is very tight, but nevertheless, they do. You are entitled to get them out of there, and you know you might talk to them. Hold on. Hmm? You might say to them, "I need a date," and
yeah.
if that date passes
yeah.
and they're not out, mm-hmm. then
yeah.
you go and talk to a landlord attorney.
Yeah.
I see. So,
I would need
an attorney to push them out.
I'm sorry, say again?
I would need an attorney to help push them out.
Well, you could try it on your own, but I would strongly advise you not to. The legal system is definitely difficult even for attorneys to manage, not necessarily for...
You know, Elaine, one of the things that my guests have kind of urged you to do is, and I'm a great believer in this, in trying to avoid problems.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than putting off problems, it's better to try to... educate yourself and know what is ahead now, as opposed to waiting another 2 or 3 months or whatever it may be. So I think Mark's suggestion that you see a landlord's attorney is probably very good advice.
Okay.
Yeah, and don't put it off.
Oh, for sure.
And then you can tell these people who live in your mom's home that you have talk to an attorney. Here's what the attorney is saying, and tell them, I really don't want to do this. I don't really want to sue you, but here's, you know, I've got to have some commitment from you.
Yeah.
You know? So good luck to you.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, all right. Take care. All right. It is about 23 minutes after 7. It is our Call a Lawyer night. I see one of our attorneys who is not on the phone with any of you, and I'm not pleased with that because I want you to take advantage of this. This is our Call a Lawyer night, 1-800-525-9917. 1-800-525-9917. This is something we do. And by the way, he does have a phone to his ear right now, so it worked. This is something that we do every month. There's a great emphasis placed on this by the San Francisco Bar, by the San Mateo County Bar. All of the persons who are here for Call a Lawyer, and I'll let you know who they are in the next half hour, are people who have been doing this for the most part, frankly, for years. They're very gracious with their time. Some of them like to come here and have the pizza. I try to get very good pizza, but they want to help you. So take advantage of the fact they're here, 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917. And if you want to talk with my guests on the air, it's 1-415-841-4134, 1-415-841-4134. This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We're doing our regular landlord-tenant program. If you've tuned in the last few minutes, my guests, who are very experienced landlord-tenant attorneys, are Mark Seidenfeld, a real estate attorney who represents landlords and tenants, offices in South San Francisco, and James Coy Driscoll, who represents tenants. His offices are in San Francisco. By the way, next week, I just want to let you know, in case you are in a same-sex couple type of situation, whether you are married, whether you're in some kind of a partnership, or whether you're just living together, but this is a significant person to you, you don't have any legal, let's say, legal connection such as marriage or whatever, in spite of the fact that the U.S. Supreme Court last month found that the Prop 8, at least on a local basis, should stand and people should be able to get married. And then, of course, the Supreme Court said the DOMA case, Defense of Marriage Act, was unconstitutional in some respect. There are estate planning issues that are very important, and that's what we're going to be talking about next week, estate planning for same-sex couples. Okay, let's see. I guess we don't have anybody else. There are no landlord-tenant problems whatsoever.
It's a miracle.
It's a miracle.
Mark, we can retire.
This is it. So those of you who were too shy to call in, and that's probably the landlords. You've just been too shy to call in. please do, so that we can hear what you have to say. I don't want to rag you on this at all. I want to make it very clear that landlords and tenants are welcome to call in with your questions, your comments, your gripes, whatever it is, and pose them to my very good guests here, who are very good friends of this radio program, this station, and also of you, the audience, the listening audience. So I hope you will call in and have a chance to get some comments from my guests. And let's see, who are we going to have, Martin? Who's next on this? Let me get a name here, and so we can get this person on the air. And this is Eric. Eric, welcome to Your Legal Rights. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks. Just a question about actually a very kind of a mold problem in the bathroom.
Okay.
We have a bathroom that has very, very bad ventilation other than a window that we can open up when it's, you know, basically most of the time we can leave that open. However, in the winter, it's just so cold because it's in a window directly to the outside that we have a hard time leaving that open and just being comfortable in the bathroom. And, you know, that obviously leads to some mold. So wondering if there's any, rights to just a comfortable...
Have you, Eric, asked your landlord to do something about this?
He basically has said that we just, you know, the window is the thing that we just have to leave open the whole time.
What, do you see the mold forming?
It's a bit of a moldy bathroom. We, you know, once it gets to winter time, we basically find ourselves having to kind of clean that up every so often.
And where do you live? What city?
In San Francisco, out in the Sunset. So.
And is this a rent ordinance under the rent ordinance? This particular building?
I believe so. The rent control stuff.
Let me. So you're under rent control. All right. Let me get some comments for you. Okay.
Sure,
Mark, what do you say about this?
Mold is a very serious problem. It's a potential health issue, there are all kinds of mold, and there's testing that can be done. Oftentimes, the tests come back that there's more mold inside than there is outside. Conceivably, you could go to the rent board and ask for a decrease in your rent because this is affecting the habitability.
Should he call the health department to come out
and
take a look?
Well, the first thing I would do, I advocate always talk to the landlord emphatically and tell him this is a problem and the landlord needs to do something about it. The landlord needs to have notice.
Yeah.
You can't simply go to the health department.
Put it in writing.
Say, I need a response in the next 3 days, whatever, something. And if the landlord doesn't respond, I would either go to the rent board and or the health department.
Very quickly.
And I agree that the landlord needs notice, but I think he already has it. And he said, you know, go to heck. There's two things. Whether the mold is being created by, one, the water in there, or whether it's in the walls itself and just keeps growing back out.
This is serious,
If it's the latter, you're cleaning it, you're leaving the window open, you rubbing bleach on it, won't do anything.
Okay.
And the landlord's got to fix it.
All right. We have come to the end of the statewide version of the program. We're going to continue live in the Bay Area at 91.7 FM, also on the Internet at www.klw.org. And it is right now about 7:29 at 91.7 KALW in San Francisco, your public radio station. This is Your Legal Rights, in case you didn't know. I'm Chuck Finney, and we're doing a program on landlord-tenant. We've got a lot of people who want to talk to my guests on the air. The number here for the on-air questions is 1-415-841-4134. 1-415-841-4134. This is also our Call a Lawyer night. We have, I think, at least seven persons in the conference room here at KALW who are taking calls off the air on the 800 number. That's 1-800-525-9917. 1-800-525-9917. We have, for workers' compensation law, Alice O'Sullivan, a certified specialist, former chair of the Board of Legal Specialization. For criminal law, we have Jeff Hayden, a certified specialist who's on the board of the Legal Specialization. And we have, if you have a family law question, call in. Your name and phone number will be taken, and then you'll get a call probably tomorrow from a family lawyer. Legal malpractice law, Peter Fortune is the chair of the Commission on Legal Malpractice Law for the Board of Legal Specialization. He's a certified specialist. Landlord-tenant law, we have two attorneys here, Sal Timpano and Eric Toscano. For landlord-tenant, since we usually have an awful lot of questions, by that I mean very good number of questions when we do landlord-tenant on the air. For employment law, his first time, Tagi Astani, I hope I pronounced that correctly, Astani, I hope I did. Tax law, real estate, Frank Adam, and tomorrow, Leon Baer, a certified specialist in bankruptcy law, will be available. That's tomorrow, Thursday, from 8 a.m. to noon to talk with you off the air. No obligation whatsoever. 1-800-477-3111. 1-800-477-3111. If you call Leon's number tomorrow and leave a message, if you get the voicemail, of course, leave a message with your name and phone number, and he will call back. He's another one, a great supporter of this program. He was on the program last week to talk about bankruptcy law and issues. So Leon will be available to talk with you tomorrow. And let's see who we have right now. We've got Marilyn. Marilyn, welcome to Your Legal Rights. Hi.
Didn't think I would be on the air. I love listening to the show. I wanted to call in and ask questions and listen at the same time.
Well, listen, just ask your question.
Ask your question. I've got a few little tiny questions.
Go ahead.
One is, the landlord says that I have to pay to change the fixtures so they take the compact fluorescent light bulbs, even though I've been here for since 1999.
When you say change the fixture, do you mean the electrical systems? You're supposed to pay for that, or just the light bulbs?
Just go out and buy these things that, you know, where so I have to pull the cord to make the fluorescent light bulbs work, to screw this thing in from a hardware store because the fixtures are old and you can't screw the fluorescent light bulbs into them. They don't turn on.
I see. So the landlord's saying to you, you have to do this, and if you don't do it, what is the threat that the landlord has made?
He hasn't made any threat, but mm-hmm. I feel like this is his responsibility, and I would like to be able to go to the law library and look up the code so I could quote it to him if I had to.
And is this a rent control? Are you under the rent control?
Yes, it's a 21-unit building old.
Yeah, in San Francisco, right?
Yes.
Okay. Let me get some comments from Coy.
Okay. First of all, I don't know how much money we're talking about, whether we're talking about a couple of bucks or if we're talking about 50 bucks or a couple of hundred. But assuming it's on the fairly inexpensive side, it may be, you know, it may be less hassle for you to buy the device and go forward. If it's something that's expensive, I think the landlord has an obligation to provide you with a working light fixture. And if that's something you can't reasonably afford or would, you know, be difficult for you to pay for or expensive, then, yeah, the landlord should. And if he won't, you go to the rent board, file a reduction of services petition and see what you get out of that.
Well, actually, my landlord is an independent contractor. He's just, should I say, frugal.
I know you were thinking of some other word, though,
yes,
weren't you?
Yes,
perhaps, perhaps
yeah.
a sound made by a bird. But,
but he, you know, he wants to get me to get these things where I have this chain dangling down. I mean, it's not my fault we switched to
fluorescent
bulbs.
What are your other little questions?
Okay, the next question is, he's changed the back door to the garbage room, the back way out of the building, so that we no longer have a key to get back in through that back door. And I wondered if he's required to provide a key to the back door.
Well, I don't know that he's required to provide a key, but again, this is a reduction in services,
yeah.
And you can go to the rent board and ask them to tell him, hey, he can either replace that, give you a key, or he can start charging less money.
Okay.
Marilyn, wait a minute. Because Mark wants to say something also.
No, I just wanted to say I agree with everything that Koya said
okay.
in response
right.
to both of those questions.
Yeah, go ahead, Marilyn.
The last one is B2B. There's somebody staying here right now from Argentina or Argentina, however you want to say it, and they seem very nice, but the tenant, you know, I don't even know if the landlord knows, but the tenant is definitely charging them above rent. And I did call the rent board, and they said, nothing could be done. It's just these people, if they want to call in, they have to deal with it. But I don't like all these. It's a safety issue. We've had plenty of break-ins in this building.
Wait a minute. Why do you say it's a safety issue?
Because that people often leave the front door open and somebody, you know, came next to the bathroom window in the hallway next to me and tried to get it opened and I opened the door and they ran away. I called the police. I thought they should have taken fingerprints, but they didn't.
Did you notify the landlord?
Well, the landlord happened to show up just then, and since I'm a little tiny woman, the police chose to speak with him instead of me, even though I called them. Mm.
It is the landlord's responsibility to provide security for the building.
Yeah.
And again, put the complaint in writing to the landlord. If he doesn't take care of it, go to the rent board.
Yeah.
I agree.
Marilyn.
Okay, so nothing about B2B. That's all okay.
Well, frankly, it's not your concern because that has to do with the relationship between the other tenant and the landlord, just like you don't get to decide who lives in the building next door.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, but they are charging more, but I guess that's lucky for him that San Francisco's so expensive. He's making a profit.
Well, we're going to move on, Marilyn. Thank you very much. Good luck to you. Good luck to you.
Bye.
All right. Take care. 1-415-841-4134 on the air. For Call a Lawyer, 1-800-525-9917. The attorneys in our conference room for Call a Lawyer are getting active. They're standing up, holding phones. It's probably very exciting in there, from what I can tell. That's my vision. So you keep them hopping, would you, everybody? It's 1-800-525-9917. And Karen, welcome to the program. Karen,
yeah,
are you there?
I'd like to talk to someone offline because this is about harassment.
Oh, you want to talk with someone off the line?
Better to talk with one of them.
Okay,
yeah.
Karen, the number to call is 1-800-525-9917. That's the
thank
number.
Thank you very much.
That's the call a lawyer night number. So thank you very much for being patient and then just call that number. All right, Margie, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi. Thank you so much for having this program.
You're
it's
welcome.
So timely. I live here in San Francisco. I live in a flat. I've had two children. One passed away. One's grown up and gone to is on her own. I had a boyfriend who was living with me. He's moved out. Long story short, my landlord and I've almost lived here about 20 years, coming up in a few months, and I'm going to be 60 come January. And my landlord has been kind of nickel and diming me about the water. There's a water bond revenue pass through where she can charge 50% of that cost or something onto me. However, when I actually went to the rent board, I even had the housing building inspector come. She had to remove a thing she had covering the air shaft because I was having mold in my bathroom. I have asthma as well. But with the water bond issue, When I went to the rent board and said I don't feel it's fair because she's not in compliance with water conservation, it takes about 2 to 3 minutes for my hot water to get hot, and there's only so many buckets I can have under the faucet to capture that water so it doesn't go down the drain and use for my plants and so forth. But I have the burden of proof to prove that she's not conserving, you know, following the water ordinance, from my understanding.
So Mark has a comment for you.
The pass-through for the water bond is legal.
Yes.
So I'm not sure what the question is.
Well, the question is the rent board said I have to prove that she doesn't comply with it, the part where she has to have low flow water faucets, shower heads, and that kind of thing.
Margie, but who's going to, the person who's complaining, what we call a plaintiff in court, always has the burden of proof. If you go to the rent board, you're the one filing the complaint. You have to prove your case. I'm not sure what the...
Okay, I think perhaps here that the issue is how do you prove that? And it's real simple. You go, you hire a plumber, he or she does the inspection, writes a report, and you submit that. And if necessary, you bring him or her in to testify if there's a hearing.
Okay.
At the rent board. Coy,
at the rent board.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, well, I guess that covers that part. But all right. So I guess that's the best thing. It's a plumber, not because I did have the building inspector come and did mention some of these things, that there's no insulation in the house. So I run the heat, and my heating bill is skyrockets because I'm out in the Richmond district and it gets kind of cold. And, you know, to no avail, he wouldn't even consider it. I said, it doesn't maintain the temperature.
Well, Mark has another comment for you.
I think what Coy said is exactly right. You need to get a plumber out there, have the plumber write a report saying this is what's going on, and go to the rent board.
Yeah.
And be prepared to have the plumber come and testify.
Margie, good luck.
I don't have access to where the water heater is. She has it locked up downstairs. Is there anything I can do about that? Because
let me do this, Margie. You have so many problems. Let me suggest we have two landlord-tenant attorneys here tonight for Call a Lawyer. Why don't you call the 800 number? I'll give it to you and ask to speak to one of the landlord-tenant attorneys, and you can spend some more time because I've got a lot of people who want to talk to my guests on the air. You ready?
Okay. Yes. Great.
Yeah.
I've got the number.
All right. Call it.
9917.
That's right.
Okay. Great.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Margie. Good luck, huh? Take care. Bye bye. All right. 1-415-841-4134 for your legal rights on the air for Call a Lawyer. It's 1-800-525-9917. And Mike, welcome to the program.
Hello, Chuck. Thanks for the program.
You're welcome.
I'm a tenant in San Francisco. My roommate and I, housemate and I, want to renew our lease with for this condominium that we're living in. And I'm wondering, what is there a maximum rental increase that the landlord can impose on us if we want to renew the lease?
Couple of questions. Did you move in in 1996 or thereafter?
After.
Okay. And next question, to your knowledge, does the landlord own any other condos in the building?
I don't think so.
Okay. In that case, unfortunately for you, under state law, the landlord can raise the rent to market rate. Mm-hmm. Now, if, let's say, market rate for your unit is $3,000 and the landlord is looking for $5,000 mm-hmm. from you, then that suggests that there might be another reason, and that might be a prohibited reason. But other than that, yeah, you're pretty much stuck with the rent increase.
Well, okay. All right. Thank you, sir.
Okay. All right, Mike. Thank you very much for calling. If you have a legal problem, you may need to talk to a lawyer. The Bar Association of San Francisco's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange an appointment for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation. This is a public service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. For a referral to a lawyer, call 415-981-1616. That's 415-989-1616. 1616. This information is brought to you by the Bar Association of San Francisco and KALW listeners like you. If you're in San Mateo County, the San Mateo County Bar Association also has a lawyer referral service. You can call your own during normal business hours. That number is 650-369-4149. 650-369-4149. If you are in any other county in California, because we are live beyond San Francisco Bay Area, we're live throughout the state because we're on the internet at www.kalw.org. You can call your own Bar Association Lawyer Referral Service. Tell them what the problem is. They'll do their best to find someone who's experienced in the area and set you up with a personal visit with the attorney. If you are, let's say, have a disability and can't get in, I think they'll do their best to try to work out a telephone conference for you with the attorney. Depending on the county, for half an hour, it could be a low of $25, maybe a high of $35. It's a great consumer service, so I highly recommend it if you want to get some initial basic legal advice of what to do, whether you may be a tenant or a landlord. So our number, 1-415-841-4134, for Call a Lawyer, 1-800-525-9917. Fred, welcome to the program.
Yes, thank you for taking the call. We have a in-law unit that basically is rented out, but sharing all the utilities, figured out the portions that the tenant would have to pay per the square footage of the in-law unit. So say 2-to-1. The house is 2 and the unit is 1. Mm-hmm. So they are paying 1/3 of the utilities. As a landlord, when they pay that money, with direct deposit into the account, is that taxable for me, or do I?
Now, which role are you in, Fred?
I'm the landlord.
You're the landlord, and so you have a unit which has 1/3, or what is it? Half the square footage of where you live. You have a unit that has half the square footage. Is that right?
Sure. Let's say that. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So you're wondering if the money that comes in from the tenant that you deposit, if that is some kind of income to you?
Correct. Because if the utility is not an income to me, I'm paying the utility.
Yes, you are paying. Let's say you're paying $100 a month. Okay. And if the tenant is paying $33, is your question, is that income to you?
Correct.
Okay, Mark.
I'll start out by saying I am not a tax attorney, and I don't take this as, you know, as gospel, but you do need to report that. I suspect, however, that it is a deduction that you could take. But this is definitely a question for a tax person, not for a landlord tenant attorney.
We have wait a minute. We do have a tax person here tonight, Fred. And are you still there, Fred?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, I'll give you the 800 number. Frank Adam is our tax attorney. He's here for Call a Lawyer. It's 1-800-525-9917.
And how late can I call him?
We'll call him right now.
All right.
This is Call a Lawyer.
No, I know, but how late would there be there?
Well, until 8 o'clock.
Got it. Thanks.
Yeah, you got the number?
Got it.
Okay, Frank. Okay, Fred. Call Frank. All right. Very good. Okay. Who else do we have here? We've got Debbie. Debbie, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
I'm a landlord, and I take issue with some of the advice that they previously gave on domestic partnership and a fellow that had having his girlfriend.
Yeah.
I mean, basically that's saying that anybody can get around providing a credit report for which they would qualify for rent by registering their roommate as a domestic partner. And you have to be able to pay the rent.
Okay, let me get Mark to respond. Okay.
If I may, the question there was, he was replacing a roommate. Somebody was moving out. Mm-hmm. Somebody else was coming in. And the lease agreement said that two people could live there. So the problem for a landlord is, how do you get control of the unit back when the original tenant moves out and you're stuck with a new roommate? The answer is you don't recognize that new person as a tenant. Therefore, it's a mistake for a landlord to even ask for a credit report in a case like that, because that in itself is a form of recognition implying that you might be looking to them to pay the rent. You don't want to accept rent from that person, because after the last original tenant moves out, and there are some hoops you have to jump through, but after that person moves out, you can raise the rent to market rate.
And we're talking about San Francisco and the rent ordinance.
Exactly. This is San Francisco. Yeah. So I tell my landlord clients, do not deal with that other roommate coming in at all. Do not take phone calls from them. Do not respond to letters or emails from them. They are not a tenant.
Okay. So you're saying that Mark has to qualify for the entire rent.
That's correct.
If he's the last one on the rental agreement, yes, he's the one that needs to be able to pay the whole rent. Whether he collects half of it from the other roommate or something, that's between them.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's say Mark moves and now there's this domestic partner there who can't pay the rent. Now you've got somebody there that you don't know their name or...
This is a real problem, but there is a way to deal with it. And what you do is there's a notice of non-acceptance of subtenant, I think it's called. It's a form you can get. And it says to everybody living there that you do not accept this person. And when the last original tenant moves out, you can raise the rent. You then go ahead and raise the rent to market rate. Do not go above market rate, as Coy pointed out earlier. That's bad. If the person doesn't pay, you can evict them.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Okay, Debbie.
All right, great. Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling. 1-415-841-4134 and call a lawyer 1-800-525-9917. Pearl, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call. So I just have a quick question. So we live in San Francisco and moved in about 8 months ago. And we never filled out, we never asked about filling out a move-in checklist of the condition of the unit.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a lot of problems with the unit that most of them we've gotten fixed, others that we just are willing to put up with, I guess. And we signed a year lease. I'm just wondering if and when we do decide to move out, I hope that we don't be, we won't be held responsible for these damages and other disrepair that we moved in with.
Wow, that's quite a problem. Go ahead, Troy.
What I would do is, as best as possible, I'd build a paper trail of sending correspondence to the landlord that says, this problem's existed ever since we moved in, blah, blah, blah. And the fact that he or she does not dispute that will tend to support the fact that it's been there. And when I say a paper trail, it's basically two ways to do it. There's either certified mail, return receipt requested, or if you communicate by emails, that's another way to document. But make sure in both cases that you keep copies of either the emails or the certified letter and the return receipt off the premises, because sometimes things disappear.
Oh, no. What? Oh,
I trust no one.
And don't turn your back either, Pearl, on anybody whatsoever.
Absolutely.
Okay?
I'm not as cynical as Coy, but I would agree with his advice. The other thing I would do would be to, if it's something that can be repaired, that needs to be repaired, say to the landlord, there's a problem. Here it is.
Yeah.
It needs to be fixed. Please fix it.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. If he doesn't, you can go on from there.
Yeah.
Okay, so you wouldn't suggest calling your landlord back in to do a check at this point? I mean, it's too late.
I think what you risk by doing that is that he may say, oh, no, that wasn't there. So this way you lull him into a sense of safety in not disputing you, and you have your documentation.
I see. Okay, thank you.
Does that help you, Pearl?
Yes, thanks.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much for calling. I want to thank our persons for Call a Lawyer. We have a few more minutes both for the program as well as Call a Lawyer. The Call a Lawyer is 1-800-525-9917. I want to thank very much the graciousness of the attorneys who have come here, Alice O'Sullivan, Jeff Hayden, Peter Fortune, Sal Timpano, Eric Toscano, Tagi Astanihi, Frank Adam, and tomorrow, Leon Baer, certified specialist in bankruptcy law, will be happy to talk to you from 8 a.m. to noon if you will call him on his 800 number. No obligation whatsoever. He's down in L.A., by the way. 1-800-477-3111. 1-800-477-3111. If you get his voicemail, leave your name and phone number, and Leon will call you back. Leon's been doing this with this program for several years. He's very gracious in terms of wanting to be of assistance to people, certainly with these phone calls. And don't feel you're going to be put in a situation where you're going to be billed for something by calling him. This is a service that he is performing in conjunction with this radio program, which is principally funded by the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar. So, all right, let's take another call or two. My guests are our good friends James Coy Driscoll and Mark Seidenfeld, both very experienced landlord-tenant attorneys. And we've got Kevin. Welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi, Chuck. Thanks a lot for putting me on the air. I love this program.
Well, thank you.
So my question is, I'm just about to, I'm in the process of purchasing a duplex in Berkeley, and
you must have some bucks.
Yeah. Anyway, here's the question.
Okay.
There's a nice garage that's available for both tenants, and it occurred to me that it might be good in a city such as Berkeley or San Francisco to have a lease on just the apartment, and then give access to the garage on a separate rental agreement, you know, for a dollar a month or something like that.
You mean to somebody else who's not...
No, to the tenants themselves.
Oh.
In such a way, what I was anticipating is I was thinking there's a possibility with a garage that's sort of out in the open will affect the other tenant of the duplex, affect the neighbors, that if any problems would come up in its usage, it would be nice just to sort of say, well, you guys, you don't have the privilege of using this great garage with the storage or the work area, but it wouldn't be something that you needed to deal with the main lease. You know, the living area would still be fine.
Okay.
And I wanted to know if there's, you know, precedent for that, or if that creates problems. Or
is this an open garage, an open area where you could see if you parked your car, one from the street could see the cars parked, or what?
No, it's slightly occluded. I was just thinking in terms of like noise or activity. You know, if someone really got going and sort of, you know, was always tuning up a motorcycle or decided to turn it into a woodworking shop or something like that. It could affect the neighbors.
That's interesting. Mark,
I just thought it might be easier if it was just on a month-to-month.
Yeah, Mark has some comments. That's a very good point. Go ahead.
The first thing you need to know is that Berkeley has a rent control ordinance, and you need to speak to somebody who is very familiar with that ordinance.
And that affects something like a
absolutely,
garage or a
storage
area too?
Because the right to park is part of the tenancy. Mm-hmm. If you're renting it to the person who's living in the unit, it's an incident of the tenancy. And frankly, I can't see any advantage in doing what you're talking about doing.
Okay. Great.
The other thing you need to remember is in a rent control jurisdiction, there's no such thing as a month-to-month tenancy from the landlord's point of view.
Yeah.
If the tenant does what he's supposed to, pays his rent, doesn't create a nuisance, he has a lifetime tenancy. So it does not make sense, at least to me, what you told me.
Yeah, I was thinking that would apply to the dwelling unit, but not necessarily. That's why I was thinking of splitting and thinking that possibly by splitting the garage unit,
I agree.
That same thing.
Excuse me, but I have to agree with Mark.
Okay.
You're not only... Okay, first of all, where landlords get in trouble is they don't realize they're in business. And secondly, when you're in a rent-controlled jurisdiction such as Berkeley, San Francisco, Oakland, they don't realize they're in business in a heavily regulated industry. So the most important thing you can do for yourself is go spend a few $100, talk to an experienced tenants lawyer, and you'll be saving yourself thousands or tens of thousands down the line.
Landlord's lawyer in Berkeley, though.
Yeah,
landlord,
talk to a landlord's, attorney. Kevin,
okay,
we've got to move on. Yeah, thanks.
Exactly.
Thanks very much for calling. I want to thank you both very much for coming back.
Always
and being
a pleasure.
On the program. It's
wonderful.
Great having you back here, James Coy Driscoll and Mark Seidenfeld. Great friends of this program, this station, and of you, the listeners in the area of landlord-tenant law. James Coy Driscoll has offices in San Francisco. Mark Seidenfeld has offices in South San Francisco. Your Legal Rights production staff members are program engineer Debbie Kennedy. Debbie, very nice to have you with us back. And production assistant Martin McLean, funding for Your Legal Rights is made possible by the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, the Trusts and Estates Section of the State Bar, the Labor and Employment Law Section of the State Bar, the California Applicants Attorneys Association, and the San Mateo County Bar Association. Next week, the topic will be estate planning for same-sex couples. My guests will be estate planning attorneys Virginia Palmer and Gene Johnson, who are also members of the Family Law Section of the State Bar of California. Thank you very much for joining us on Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney.